All right, take your Bibles if you would. Let's open the Word of God to Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14. Now, I told Brother Joe, you take whatever time you need and I'll adjust around that, all right? So I'm not going to be long, but I do want to get into Proverbs 14 and share some of the wisdom that we find here in this chapter. And we'll spend a little time here tonight and get what God has for us, all right? So Proverbs 14, when you found your place, let's stand for the reading of God's Word. And we're going to look at just two verses, and then I'll let you be seated. We'll kind of read through the chapter together and get right into the message. All right, let's pray together, and we'll begin reading. We're going to read verses, 33. We'll just read the last three verses. All right, let's pray. Father, how we love you tonight, how we thank you for that good news from a far country. Lord, the great report from the mission field about the things that you're doing there. And Lord, tonight we do bow a knee in prayer, just asking you to work among those men and women and children that received the gospel message and a New Testament, maybe a Bible tract. Lord, I pray you'd work in their hearts because we know, dear Holy Spirit of God, without you working in their heart, illuminating their heart and mind to the truth of your word, to the reality of sin and salvation, Lord, without them turning to the Lord Jesus Christ, we realize this world has no hope. And so we pray, Lord, that you would shine the truth of the gospel into their heart, and that they might receive you, Lord, and be saved as a result. We thank you, Lord, for this trip Joe got to take and the effort of the missionaries who live there. And we pray you'd continue, Lord, to do great things among them. Lord, do great things among us also, we pray tonight, as we come to the reading of your word. We pray, Lord, you just speak to our hearts and be our teacher and guide, Lord, as we read the scriptures tonight. In Jesus' name we ask, amen. All right, Proverbs 14, notice the last three verses. Wisdom resteth in the heart of him that hath understanding. But that which is in the midst of fools is made known. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. The king's favor is toward a wise servant, but his wrath is against him that caused his shame. And so, like in verse 33, we're seeing in all of these verses, we're seeing the presence of wisdom. Wisdom resteth in the heart. And tonight I want to use that thought, wisdom, and we're going to see how it kind of goes throughout the chapter. And tonight I just want to look at, from Proverbs 14, the ways of the wise. And I believe this chapter brings out some of these things to us tonight. The ways of the wise. Thank you. You may be seated. Now I'd like for us to get an understanding of the chapter, just kind of do a responsive reading like we've been doing. I'll read two verses and you'll read one with me, and we'll read through the chapter that way. So the Bible says in verse 1 of chapter 14, every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. He that walketh in his uprightness feareth the Lord, but he that is perverse in his ways despiseth him. Verse 3, ready? In the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise shall preserve them. Verses 4 and 5, where no oxen are, the crib is clean, but much increase is by the strength of the ox. A faithful witness will not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. Verse 6, ready? A scorner seeketh wisdom and findeth it not, but knowledge is easy unto him that understandeth. Verses 7 and 8, go from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. Verse 9, ready? Fools make a mock at sin, but among the righteous there is favor. Verses 10 and 11, the heart knoweth his own bitterness, and a stranger doth not intermeddle with his joy. The house of the wicked shall be overthrown, but the tabernacle of the upright shall flourish. Verse 12, ready? There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Verses 13 and 14, even in laughter the heart is sorrowful, and the end of that mirth is heaviness. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. Verse 15, ready? The simple believeth every word, But the prudent man looketh well to his going. Verses 16 and 17. A wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rageth and is confident. He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly, and a man of wicked devices is hated. Verse 18, ready? The simple inherit folly, but the prudent are crowned with knowledge. Verses 19 and 20, the evil bow before the good, and the wicked at the gates of the righteous. The poor is hated of his own neighbor, but the rich hath many friends. Verse 21, ready? He that despiseth his neighbor sinneth, but he that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he. Verses 22 and 23, do they not err that devise evil? But mercy and truth shall be to them that devise good. In all labor there is profit, but the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury. Verse 24, ready? The crown of the wise is their riches, but the foolishness of fools is folly. Verses 25 and 26, a true witness delivereth souls, but a deceitful witness speaketh lies. In the fear of the Lord is a strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. Verse 27, ready? The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. Verses 28 and 29, in the multitude of people is the king's honor, but in the want of people is the destruction of the prince. He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly. Verse 30, ready? A sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy the rottenness of the bones. Verses 31 and 32, he that oppresseth the poor reproacheth his maker, but he that honoreth him hath mercy on the poor. The wicked is driven away in his wickedness, but the righteous hath hope in his death. Verse 33, ready? Wisdom resteth in the heart of him that hath understanding, but that which is in the midst of fools is made known. Verses 34 and 35, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. The king's favor is toward a wise servant, but his wrath is against him that causeth shame. Wow, what a chapter. Some great, great Bible truths buried there. And I hope you marked a few as we went through that chapter, some things to remember and even go back and look upon again at a later time. Tonight we're talking about the wise, and in particular we want to look at the ways of the wise. We want to learn some things tonight from this chapter about the wise. And the first thing we see tonight is the house of the wise. The house of the wise. So if we look at verse 11, the Bible says there, the house of the wicked shall be overthrown, but the tabernacle of the upright shall flourish. And what we want to see is that when we apply the wisdom of God to our house, the way we live, the way we conduct ourselves, the way we establish our families and our homes and the way we interact with one another, when we do it God's way, the Bible says, then we can flourish. And that's so good to understand that tonight from the Word of God. Notice the first two verses, if you will. There's two things that we learn about the house of the wise. The first one is, it is built on purpose. That is, it is built by design. Tonight, I don't have time to go through the Scriptures, but if you were to do a little Bible study on the Christian home, you'll find that there is direction. There are principles to put into practice. There is a design to the Christian home. There is a purpose to it. And the Lord gives us that in His Word. So the way we conduct ourselves in the home is on purpose. When we follow God's Word as a believer, and we set up our home as a Christian family, and we live the way God intended, and we interact with one another, fulfilling the roles that God gave to us in the home and in the family, we're conducting our life God's way. And we do that by design. We do that on purpose. And doing that on purpose gives us purpose, right? And that's a great thing to understand from the Word of God. The Bible says here, though, in the first verse, every wise woman buildeth her house. Remember what Jesus said about the wise? He said, everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him to a wise man. So you can be a wise man or a wise woman when you live in your house in such a way that obeys the Lord and pleases Him. Because God has given us very specific instructions. What men are to do and what women are to do, what husbands are to do, what wives are to do. And so if we take those simple instructions and live them out on a daily basis, the Bible says that we will be wise and it says our house will flourish. Praise God for that. Tonight, I'm celebrating that God has given us something so wonderful to know and to rest upon His Word. The Christian home is built on purpose. This is the house of the wise. The Bible says here, every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. So the house of the foolish, it collapses. And how does it collapse? Because it was surrounded by the enemy? Because it was bombarded by darts from the wicked one? No. The house of the wicked implodes from within. It collapses because those who are living in it seek its demise by the way they conduct themselves inside. It says, the foolish woman plucketh it down with her hands. The foolish woman, she ruins her own marriage. The foolish man ruins his own marriage. He kills his own family. He misguides his own children. Hey, listen, there's no blaming it on the devil when we're doing it ourselves. And so, really, if we're going to be wise tonight, we're going to have to choose, am I going to do this God's way or am I going to do this the world's way? Am I going to do what feels good to me? Am I going to put myself at center stage or am I going to put Christ in the center? What is the centerpiece of my home going to be? And listen, everything is going to revolve around that. So when we put Christ at the center of our home, when our lives revolve around the Lord and His Word, and when we do what He says, we become wise, and then we build our house as a result instead of tearing it down. But when we live foolishly and selfishly, we pluck it down with our own hands by the way we act inside. How many of you understand that foolishness is not constructive? And by the way, remember the biblical definition of foolish. The Bible says the fool said in his heart, there is no God. And so anyone can be foolish when they live their life without regarding God, without Him in mind. Right? Christians can be foolish. We can have moments where we do what we want and not what God wants. And when we make decisions that are rash and selfish and fleshly, we're being foolish in those moments. And so we don't want to do that in our home. The house of the wise is built on purpose. And then number two, the house of the wise is built by principle. The principles, of course, come from the Word of God. The house of the wise build on the principles of God. They do what is taught by the Lord, and they live by His Word. Well, that's why they're the house of the wise. Jesus said, he that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him to a wise man. And so we're doing the things that honor God. And when we do that, we build our lives. We build our families. We build our lives that way by doing what the Lord said. You remember Jesus said, he that leaves his life shall find it, right? But he that keeps it shall lose it. So if you live for yourself and do what you want, you're really losing your life. But if you give it to God and do what He wants you to do, then you're really gaining it. That's what Jesus taught. And the same thing is true in our homes and the way we conduct our families. The house of the wise tonight, it's built on purpose and it's built on principle. And whether it collapses or flourishes, it's going to be up to us what choices we make and how we conduct ourselves in our home. And thank God we have these principles. Our house can flourish. Our homes and our families can flourish if we do what God says. Amen? Now, that doesn't mean that we never have any problems. Man, we all have problems. That doesn't mean we don't have hardships along the way. That doesn't mean that we don't get in a position sometimes where things don't work out like we thought, because we live in a broken world. Sin has affected everything on this planet, right? And so everything that we come in contact with, right, is broken. And we have to understand that. Christians aren't exempt from the hardships of life. But thank the Lord there's hope that if we do things God's way, we can have a better outcome. And that's what we seek. And so we will become wise by choosing to follow the Lord and conduct our homes His way. Number two, I want you to see the lips of the wise. We'll see that in verse number 3. The Bible says, "In the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise shall preserve them." All right, so, we understand the first part of that verse. That rod of pride, that's not constructive. What do we find? We find in the second part of that verse, "The lips of the wise shall preserve them." All right, so we find preservation. We find power in the lips of the wise. I want you to see this chapter speaks of a couple of things about the lips of the wise. First of all, I want you to see that it talks about their content. And you know, we need to understand tonight that it is important what we say. Words are important. You know, we know words are important when it comes to the Word of God. I trust you understand that things that are different are not the same. And because of that, there's power in words and their meanings. All right? So we need to understand that. But it's not just when God uses words. The same is true when we use words. And so we need to use wise words. We need to think about the content of our words. What messages are we sending and sharing? How are we communicating those messages? Again, we want to do that God's way and not the world's way. Notice what the Bible says in verse 15. It says, "The simple believe every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going." The prudent man is thinking about the context of the words. He's thinking about the content, the value of that vocabulary. He's thinking about what those words mean and what they communicate, right? And I want you to understand, the wise consider their content. There's a lot of verses that we could use tonight, but for time's sake, we're just going to move on. Notice, I want you to see not only the lips of the wise, their content, then I want you to look at their care. Their care. Do you care about what you say? Do you care about how it sounds? Do you care about what it means? And if you do, then you understand that you get to a place where you start having to think about what you say before you say it. Because you want to make sure that what you're about to say actually conveys the meaning that you want to share. And that is when you're communicating well. Notice the care of their words. Verse 25, the Bible says, "A true witness delivereth souls, but a deceitful witness speaketh lies." Why? Because the deceitful person doesn't care about who's affected by their words. They don't care about the consequence of their words. But it says the true witness delivereth souls. Why? Because that person cares about their words. They care about the content. They care about the consequences. They care about how their words affect other people. And you know, you and I, if we're going to be wise, we need to care about our words. We need to think tonight about the messages that we communicate when we speak. Don't be so trivial with your vocabulary. Don't be so irreverent and nonchalant about words, because sometimes words convey something other than what you meant. They can even do harm and damage. And you need to understand that if you're going to use them well. The lips of the wise feed many, the Bible says. And then I want you to notice the direction of the wise. The direction of the wise is mentioned in verses 12 and 14. Notice the Bible says in verse 12, "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." You know, in Proverbs, it usually gives you both sides of the coin. It'll say the wise do this and the foolish do that. Did you notice in verse 12, there's no contrast here. So the contrast is implied, but it's not spoken. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Well, what's the reverse of that? All right? The reverse of that means that's the foolish path. And what's implied is that there is a way then. It may not feel right. It may not be comfortable and may not be convenient, but that path then would be the right path. And I'll tell you why this proverb is true. Out beside it, you can write it like this, because this is how we say that proverb. We say it like this. We say human nature, the flesh, however you want to call it, we say it takes the path of least resistance. You ever heard that before? All right, so that's what this verse means. There's a way which seemeth right to man. It feels good. Hey, I think this is the way I'm supposed to go. This is the comfortable way. This is the convenient way. This is the natural way. But it says the end of that way is death. It doesn't end well. And it usually doesn't. When you take the path of least resistance, you don't usually get the best results from that path. The end thereof are the ways of death. I want you to notice verse 14. Is it 14? The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. Okay, one is filled with his own ways, and the other one is satisfied. Well, which do you want to be? So we find here there is something to consider when we're talking about the wise in their direction. Now, you've probably heard me say before that it's not perfection in the Christian life, but it's direction that I'm concerned about. And you too should be concerned about that in your own life. Not that you've achieved some level of perfection, but what you should be concerned about in your Christian life is which direction are you going? Right? Which direction are you going? Now, there are a lot of Christians that have been saved a long time. They maybe have mastered some of the Christian habits that we teach in life. But personally, their attitude is taking them in a direction away from God and not toward Him. They're not really growing. They're really more stagnated. And then there may be a younger Christian that hasn't learned everything yet, and they haven't mastered, you know, the habits of the Christian life. And maybe they're still doing a few things wrong, but they're headed in the right direction. They're growing. They're trying to get closer to God. They're making an effort to come to church. They're trying to read their Bible, learn, and live the Christian life. Well, who's better off out of those two? Obviously, the new Christian who's trying hard is better off than the one who's been saved a long time, but is no longer trying. They're just drifting backwards. It's the direction, you see, that determines that. And we want to think about the direction tonight of the wise. The direction of the wise is mentioned in these two verses. And I want you to think about this. This is something that we need to do to test our own life. To verify your direction, you need to do two things. First, you need to consider the end. What is the fulfillment of your direction? If you get what you want, what would it be? Somebody asked the question, you know, stating this same principle, they said it like this: where will you be when you get where you're going? Now, if the answer to that question is not good, then you're going the wrong way. Where will you be when you get where you're going? Consider the end. It's interesting that we are talking about this. Well, we're talking about it because of verse 12. It says there's a way that seems right, but the end is not good. The end are the ways of death. All right, so look, you got to consider in life, if I take this path, where will it take me? Where will I end up? Don't just be a victim and wake up one day and say, how did I end up here? Well, probably because way back there you chose this. And that's usually how it works. So a decision, a choice to go in a certain direction is what takes you then one day to the destination. Right, so the ways of the wise, we want to consider your way. To verify your direction, consider the end. You know, the Bible in Hebrews chapter 13, it talks about obeying them to have the rule over you. I mentioned that verse this morning in the message. But that verse says that we're to follow them, follow their faith, considering the end of their conversation. Think about where they're leading you to. It's talking about pastors, spiritual leaders that teach people the Word of God. And it's saying we need to follow them because think about the end. Think about where you're going to end up if you follow that path. It's the same test that we're using here tonight in Proverbs 14. And it's the same test you should use as a believer in your life to know, am I following the Lord or am I following my flesh? Consider the end. And that will be a good indication to help you answer that question. Number two, not only consider the end, but count the cost. Think about what you have to do to get where you're going. You know, Isaiah 53:6 says, we have turned everyone to our own way. And that's a gospel verse. It says, and the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. But what that verse reveals is the waywardness of our nature. Now, even though we're saved and believers tonight, because of Romans chapter 7, we know that after salvation, we still struggle with the waywardness of our nature, and we're prone sometimes to go the wrong way and do the wrong things. And that's why that song, Come Thou Fountain, is so special, because it says, I'm prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Just sounds like Romans chapter 7, doesn't it? Where Paul's saying, sometimes I don't do what I should do, and sometimes I do what I shouldn't do. We all have that struggle. And so sometimes we just need to stop and look around, and we need to put ourselves to the test. We need to consider the end of the path and the ways that we've chosen. We need to count the cost to make sure that our direction is right. The direction of the wise. Well, they're seeking the Lord, and they're following the truth. We've talked about the house of the wise, the lips of the wise, the direction. I want you to see the crown of the wise. Look at verse 24, and we'll close with this. The Bible says in verse 24, the crown of the wise is their riches, but the foolishness of fools is folly. Isn't it interesting? So you choose to be wise or foolish. And then that part of your character, whether you've chosen wisdom or foolishness, that begins to direct your way and it determines your outcome. Wow, that's pretty powerful, isn't it? It's kind of a caution so that you make the right choice. You need to think about that one. Don't make it too lightly, because that's what's going to guide you through your life. And that's what this verse is saying. So we're seeing in verse 24 that there's a crown. The crown of the wise is their what? Their riches. Now, wait a minute. Remember, when God's Word talks about riches, He's not always talking about financial wealth. There's a lot of things in life that make you rich. And so let's look at some of those. The riches of the wise, what are they? Well, in verse 4, we learn that the wise have physical riches. Not financial, but physical. Look at verse 4. Where no oxen are, the crib is clean, but much increase is by the strength of the ox. Now, underline that word increase. That's not financial. Now, I understand some of those things could be liquidated and it could have a financial consequence. It could have a financial bearing, but he's not talking about that. He's talking about the substance that comes by using the strength of the ox. He's talking about the working man, the physical blessings that come from those who work. That's wisdom. Those that apply themselves to work and gain in life through that. These are the physical blessings, the physical riches. It's part of the crown of the wise. Now look in verse 23, if you will. We'll see that there are also financial riches that are involved. Look at verse 23. In all labor there is profit, but the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury. Now that word penury just means poverty. It means being poor. And that's what happens when you talk and you should be working. That's what the verse is actually teaching us. Okay, so he says in verse 23, in all labor there is profit. Now if you underline that profit right there, we're talking about working. And when you go to work, you are working then for a financial gain. And so this is where you can say, okay, now we're talking finances. We're talking about money. There are financial riches to be gained by those who exercise the wisdom of work. Work was intended to be a gift from God to us so that we could increase our goods, so that we could be blessed with that profit. And this verse says, in all labor, there is profit. Think about that. There's nothing wrong with good, clean work. And we all ought to grow up understanding that. God blesses work. Now, we'd like to have the job that produces the most profit. But if you can't find that, you go to the next one. You get the one that produces the most profit it can produce. And you use that to climb upwards. So if you can't, you know, you're not going to walk out the door getting the best paying job of your life. But you walk out the door, you find the first job paying whatever it pays, and then you use that to increase your skills and develop yourself and learn how to work. And then you start accumulating some things, and then what happens later on, you move up a little. And you do well there, and you move up a little, and you move there, and you just keep repeating that. And you try to grow as a person. Grow in your skills and your understanding, your ability to produce. Those are the financial riches, the crown of the wise. Notice in verse 34, there are personal riches or social riches. The Bible says in verse 34, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And so we understand that the exaltation that comes from being wise, or as the verse says, being righteous. Now, we started out with the premise that the wise are those who follow God's words and do them. Right? That's what Jesus said. And so here, what is that going to produce? That's going to lead us to righteousness. Those who are doing righteousness are following God's words. And so we find that to be a crown of the wise. It's a blessing. It's a profitable result that comes from following the Lord. And you know, our nation, we think of that. I can't read that verse without thinking of America. People are referring to our country as an experiment, and I guess in a historical context, it is. But it's not just a capitalistic experiment or a conservative experiment. It's a spiritual experiment. Our founding fathers, they knew who God was. Regardless of what people think today, and no matter how they want to paint the past, our founding fathers built this country as a believing nation. We believed in God, and we built our nation upon His Word. And all of our founding documents and principles and structures, they all reflect that biblical understanding that our founding fathers had. Think of that. They probably didn't all agree with each other's theology at the time, and they certainly wouldn't agree 100% with ours looking back. But at least we can say this nation was founded upon a belief in God. Now, we say that by saying that this was founded as a Christian nation. And in that sense, it's true. And that's what has exalted America. Righteousness exalted a nation. Alex de Tocqueville visited our country. He wanted to find out what made America great. This was way back in the day. And his conclusion was, after touring America, he found the power of our country to be in our churches. I'll let you go back and read his books. But he said this, America is great because she is good. He was talking about morally good. He was talking about righteousness being alive in our land. And it was being preached from the pulpits of America. He was finding that verse 34 was happening right here in our country. Righteousness was exalting a nation. We have proved God's word to be true in that sense. And that also serves as a caution, a beware to our country, lest we should ever be tempted to turn from that heritage and turn our back on the Lord, then He would forsake us, just as He did His own in the nation of Israel. And God uses nations to reprove nations. And He will do it in our case when the time comes that we so need such action. We're talking about the riches of the wise, the crown of wisdom. Verse 25 shows us some of the spiritual riches. And in verse 25, it says, a true witness delivereth souls. A true witness delivereth souls. There are spiritual riches to be gained from being wise and following the Lord. And you know, it would certainly be appreciated, wouldn't it, by the souls who were delivered. What we do affects others. And the consequences of our actions have a rippling effect. And those effects can be blessings that go out again and again in waves if we're wise, if we choose to follow the Lord. And you know, tonight we can. And that's the great thing about Proverbs 14, is that we can choose to be wise, we can follow the Lord, and then we have all this to gain as a result. Because God blesses those who obey Him and walk in wisdom. Amen. Let's bow together in prayer. Father, how we love you tonight, how we thank you so much for your precious word. We thank you for the truth and the privilege tonight that we have to hear the word of God and then to be able to follow it and obey it. That we can become what Jesus said. We can become wise men, wise women. We can become wise people by obeying the teachings of Christ and the words of the Bible. We can live them out in our homes, our lives, our families, our friends, our society, our nation can be blessed as a result of those choices. Lord, thank you so much for loving us, teaching us. Thank you for blessing us and helping us with this tonight. Help us to be wise that we might show forth in our lives these ways. In Jesus' name we ask.